walk as he walked. Those who worship the Lord, worship in spirit and truth. Those who say that they know him must walk as he walked. He is the way and the truth, and in him ends the life. If we obey his word, walk in the light. He is the way and the truth, and in him is the life. If we obey his word, then we walk in the light. If we say that we know him, but we don't keep his word, then we walk in the darkness, and the truth's not in us. If we walk in the light, we will have fellowship sweet, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from sin. He is the way and the truth, and in him is the life. If we obey his word, then we walk in the light. He is the way and the truth, and in him is the life. If we obey his word, then we walk in the light. Walk in the light. He is the way and the truth, and in him is the life. If we obey his word, then we walk in the light.
Well, good morning, friends. Good to see everybody this morning, and to be able to take a little bit of a coffee with you. Let's do that right now. Grab that cup, and we'll have a little bit of fellowship together here with a cup of coffee. Tasty, tasty, tasty coffee. Well, we are actually in the place just about where Jesus would have been, at least in our study of where Jesus would have been prior to the triumphal entry, which we will look at a little bit later in the week. Today we're going to backtrack a little bit actually and look at a few maps. And the reason we're going to look at the maps is what was going on with Jesus. Where was he? We are going into a place now where significant chunks of the text, roughly a third of the text, will be given to the final week of Jesus' ministry between what we call Palm Sunday and Good Friday, or actually Easter Sunday. So Sunday to Sunday, that 7 days takes up about one third, roughly, of the text. In the book of John, it takes up actually 43% of the book of John is given to what we would call the Passion Week, and that begins next Monday. So I thought what we would do today is step back and look at, you know, where has Jesus been, and consider some of the geography of where he has been. Last week we looked at Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus, the story of Zacchaeus would be happening sometime during this week in the life of Christ. So, I mean, we're hitting it just perfectly. So let's look at some things here together. Let me put this chart up on the screen for you. kind of considering a timeline, the clock, if you will, of the life of Christ. If you can see it, if you're looking at this on a small device, you're probably not going to be able to see very much of it. If you are looking at it on your television screen, your 65-inch television screen, Zara would like to have one of those for her people in her church. Then you'll be able to see it just fine. I mean, you have the early life of Jesus, roughly B.C., 5 B.C. Now, why do we not say 0 or 1? Well, because they didn't really start counting the time period until about 5 B.C., even though Jesus was probably born maybe a little bit ahead of this. They're not sure of the dating, and so whoever determined when to set the timeline and the life of Christ, they'd say, you know, roughly around this time. So the early life of Jesus, we have very little in the text of Scripture. You can see here we have Jesus being born, Jesus visiting the temple. So from birth up to 12 years of age, a few chapters given to the birth of Christ. Then during his public ministry, or the public ministry of John the Baptist, it begins in the winter, goes through the spring, the summer, the fall, the winter, and then into the spring of the year when Jesus comes for his baptism. This would have been about 3 years prior when this would be taking place. And you can see all the different scripture references here, referencing the baptism of Jesus. It talks about the temptation of Jesus, all likely taking place in the spring of that first year as he begins his public ministry. We see the first miracle in Cana of Galilee. We see the first temple cleansing. We see the visit of Nicodemus. And by summer, now we see Jesus visiting with the Samaritan woman in Samaria. Now, let me get to a map real fast, and I think I can get there. Here we go. This would be a map of the region, and up here at the top, you see Tiberias. This is the Sea of Galilee up at the top. There are a few other maps we'll be looking at as well. Down here is Samaria. And so this area that Jesus would go through, the Samaritan region, and then down closer, not really at the bottom, but two-thirds of the way down the screen, you have Jerusalem. So you go from Tiberias to Jerusalem, you take a straight shot, and maybe because of the mountain region and desert region, it's not quite a straight shot that you'd take, but you might think, okay, he would go right like this. It makes sense. What is the shortest distance between two points? Is a straight line. But the Jews didn't take that straight line because the Jews and the Samaritans did not get along. And so what the Jews would most often do is they would cut Tiberias. They would come down this direction and head across to the eastern side of the Jordan River. This is the Jordan River here that runs from the Sea of Galilee all the way down to the Dead Sea. They would take this bypass of Samaria and come down and then cut back across over here. In fact, oftentimes it come through Jericho and then over to Jerusalem was a likely footpath that would often have been taken. So this is giving you a sense of the flow. Now, where we picked up last week, or where we ended up last week, I should say, with Zacchaeus, he was in Jericho. This is where Zacchaeus was a tax collector in Jericho down here, and this is where he encountered Jesus. Now, I said last week that the fact is Jesus and Zacchaeus, they'd probably crossed paths before. Now, they may not have ever looked at each other, may not have ever spoken to each other prior. We don't know, but it is likely that Jesus had taken other trips through Jericho and the word had spread about Jesus. so that Zacchaeus knew who Jesus was. So last week when we ended up in our final broadcast of the week last week on Thursday, he was Jesus is in Jericho, and we see this transformed life of Zacchaeus take place. That's Jericho. Perhaps Zacchaeus had heard about Jesus numerous times. It's likely the case that he'd heard of Jesus numerous times, and that got his curiosity up. That's why he climbed up in the sycamore tree. Jesus was also aware of Zacchaeus. He probably asked some questions, or people said, hey, stay away from him, or any number of things. So Jesus was interested in Zacchaeus. Now, this is the map. This is kind of this area where Jesus is. Between here, get the map back up, is Bethany, is right here. Between Bethany and, in fact, let me go to the next slide. You can see down here is Bethany in Jerusalem. I mean, it's about 2 miles, and you see on the screen here, it's about 2 miles from Bethany over to Jerusalem. It's a walk up over across the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives are on the eastern side of Jerusalem. So the other side of the Mount of Olives is Bethany. That's where Lazarus, Mary, and Martha lived in Bethany. And so this is the direction that Jesus will head. And from Bethany, he will go into Jerusalem in the triumphal entry, which we will look at later in the week. I'm going to get to the triumphal entry prior to Palm Sunday to help you in your worship just a little bit. Now, what you're looking at here with this particular map, this map is looking at the Synoptic Gospels and thinking about where Jesus was likely traveling during this time. You notice it's all the way up at the beginning here. You see it says Philip and it says Antipas, and these are a few of the leaders of those areas, Philip and Antipas. Antipas having leadership here as well. Now, it isn't completely consistent, so they would call this the area of Antipas or the area of Philip. Here, the Decapolis didn't necessarily have that same type of jurisdictional leader, but it's called the Decapolis because it maybe meant the 10 cities region, and those aren't shown here on this map. But Jesus from Capernaum, and this is kind of the base of operations for much of his ministry, heads down to Gene, over to Scythopolis, down to Salim, Enon, and then back across the Jordan. This is probably the typical travel route. And he's teaching the whole time that he is here traveling this direction. This is all teaching, some healing, but mostly as he's walking along and the text will reveal there's a large crowd walking with him. He is teaching them the whole time. He gets to the Bethany beyond the Jordan, crosses over, hits Jericho, then he will end up in Bethany. Now, this comes from the Synoptic Gospels. Let me go to the next slide. Earlier, prior to that time, Jesus had been in Bethany beyond the Jordan. This is how we are pretty sure. Scholars think that Jesus had made these trips through Jericho before. Jesus is at the Bethany beyond the Jordan. Now, this may be the place where the baptism of John, the baptisms of John, was taking place. Some placed Bethany down here. Others placed Bethany up a little bit higher. But we do know that Jesus is in this area of Perea over on the eastern side of the Jordan River, and that is where the Bethany beyond the Jordan is, and this is one possible location. Jesus is over on the other side of the Jordan, and then if you were to go over to John chapter 11, he will cross back over. This is number 2. it from the book of John, John 10, verse 40, he's in the Bethany beyond the Jordan. We know that's where he is. Down here at number three, Jesus travels to Bethany and raises Lazarus from the dead. So he travels from this Bethany to the other Bethany near Jerusalem, raises Lazarus from the dead. And then what happens in this location right here is the Jews are very upset with him. They're incensed with him. The tensions are rising. We're now within a few weeks, perhaps, of maybe 3 weeks out of Jesus' triumphal entry when he raises Lazarus from the dead. So this is comparing the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, with what John has to say. John then says that he withdraws to Ephraim, this village up to the north. And why does he go there? He goes there, the text tells us in John 11:54, basically because the tensions had gotten so great that he did not feel he could stay down in this area. When you take John and all that's written in John, then you just assume, okay, Jesus has gone up to Ephraim, and then he's going to come back down to Ephraim. Number five, it says he returns to Bethany, to the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and then the next day he will enter Bethany. And this enter Jerusalem on a donkey from Bethany. That's John's take. Now, what do you do with that? You say, so they're not consistent. They're, see, the Bible contradicts itself. No, it doesn't contradict itself. Some people want to say that. Well, why doesn't John agree with the others? Why does John remember it differently? Because their point wasn't necessarily to map everything out. So the next slide I'm going to show you is not as clear a slide, maybe. It's a little bit fuzzy, a little bit grainy. I apologize for that. But this is one scholar's attempt to kind of explain what is going on now in these weeks in the life of Christ. Here's Bethany. Down here, Jerusalem, it's about 2 miles apart. Picking up with John, he's in Bethany. Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead. He goes up to Ephraim. And the reason why is this kind of this around this direction is because of the rivers and streams. So Jesus, and likely there was a road there anyway. So Jesus goes to Ephraim to get away from some of the tensions that are rising. There is information in the text that leads us to then think that Jesus will go this direction because it says he travels the border between the Galilee and Samaria. One of the passages, and I have another slide here that lists some of those passages, Jesus will travel the border between Samaria and Galilee, which we know is up to the north. So what this particular scholar does is says, okay, he leaves Ephraim and he doesn't go back down directly to Bethany. His means of getting to Bethany is to make this big loop. Now, I don't know what the rationale is for this scholar to make the loop this big. I tend to think that Jesus gets across the Jordan on the east side, but was now modern day Jordan, actually, and then heads down to Bethabara or Bethany beyond the Jordan. That is another name for where Jesus is. So I think Jesus, like this scholar, hits Ephraim, heads back over across. You know, you're talking like 8 miles. It's not that far of a distance from Ephraim on over across to the Jordan. And then he heads back south. And this is where the story would pick up. In my estimation, Jesus spends the time going from this area where I'm pointing on the map, just across the Jordan River, on the east side of the Jordan River, and head south to Bethabara or to Bethany in the Jordan, Bethany beyond the Jordan, which means east of the Jordan. He may have spent the time making this larger loop because he was several days in the area and he's teaching the entire time that he is traveling. Now, it's in the midst of that that, that then we could go back. I've kind of set us up for the rest of the week to go back and look at some of what Jesus was teaching during that time. He'll hit Bethabara and maybe hit Bethabara. I think he's in Bethabara. Heads to Jericho. That's where we left off on Thursday last week. We weren't on Friday. Hits Jericho, and then from there heads down to Bethany. The triumphal entry is planned. He makes the trip then to Jerusalem from there. In Jericho, that is where he encounters Zacchaeus. Now, what does it matter? It's a compass. It's a clock. It's a map, and it's kind of the calendar, if you will, of what is taking place in the life of Christ. What does that matter? It just kind of gives us some bearings. It gives us a sense of what the direction is. Now, if I go back to this slide again here, we've passed all these things. We've passed winter, spring, summer, fall, the ministry in the Galilee area. We've passed over the transfiguration, which is also a very, very fascinating conversation about which mountain was it. Was it Mount Tabor? Was it Mount Hermon, which is Mount Hermon, which there's some debate and conversation about which place it is. And actually, the text of Scripture, when you put all the Gospels together, it leaves you kind of puzzled a little bit, and that's why scholars aren't totally sure. Some will say it's absolutely, and if you go for Matthew, it is absolutely Mount Hermon. If you take all the four Gospels together, you would likely say, in fact, John doesn't talk about the Transfiguration. If you take the three Synoptic Gospels, you could conclude it's Mount Tabor, which is to the south of Galilee. We'll maybe look at that yet this week. Now we're here from this section right here. We are in the fall. We just talked about the late raising of Lazarus, and then the winter months, and then the spring. All that we've read, the raising of Lazarus in John chapter 11, over to the Zacchaeus encounter in the winter or spring of the year, in what's called the Perean ministry. And now we're in this little sliver over here, the very end, where Jesus is doing his last little bit of teaching. And then toward the end of next week, the crucifixion will take place. That's just kind of the timeline. One third of the Gospels is spent roughly in this section over here, the Holy Week section, if you will. Now, I don't know if this has been helpful to you. For those that are listening via a podcast, maybe not so much so. I'd encourage you to go to our YouTube page at the Daily Discipleship Podcast YouTube page or the Daily Discipleship Facebook page and find this video. Luke 19, part two, mapping, what did I entitle this? Mapping the story. And you could actually look at the video and or look it up yourself. Google the journeys of Jesus, the final week of Jesus, and there's a little bit of digging you'll have to do there to find it. But it gives you a sense. I mean, this is real, real stuff. You know, I can tell you, well, I went out west and went on this big trip last summer. But if I were to map it out and then put some pictures there of all the different places, which I guess I could put pictures here of all the different places, then it makes it far more interesting. It isn't just, oh, we drove from Tacoma to San Antonio. We drove from Tacoma to Mount Hood to Eagle Lake, to Tahoe, to Yosemite, I think, then to Big Sur. And anyway, mapping it out makes it far more interesting when you look at the map and see where he's going and what he's what he's done or what a person has done. And then they show you some pictures and tell you the story. And it makes it very interesting. Kind of like I gave a ministry report of last year's trip to Turkey and South Sudan. You know, that makes it very interesting. So for us, it's interesting to see where Jesus was, traveling, what he was doing, what was up. It kind of brings it more to life. It isn't just something that's on a page. There's territory, there's geography involved, there's travel involved, there's culture involved, there's all these different aspects of things that are involved in the journey of Jesus. Now, tomorrow we'll pick back up, and we're going to backtrack just a little bit from Zacchaeus. And now, it is interesting that when you look at the Gospels, this says in Luke chapter 19. I'll put that up so you can see it. It says, as when Jesus entered Jericho. So he's entering Jericho. Now, another one of the Gospels talks about, this Gospel will talk about the healing of a blind man, but as Jesus left Jericho. So we see him entering Jericho. Then another passage we'll look at, we see him leaving Jericho. He enters Jericho and sees Zacchaeus as he leaves Jericho, heading on over toward Bethany. He heals a couple of blind guys, at least one. And some people say, well, one of the Gospels says one blind guy. Another says two. Well, one place that's where he's entering, he healed a blind man. And then another one of the Gospels says as he was leaving, there were probably at least a handful of blind people that Jesus will heal during this particular occasion as he is in Jericho. The thing about it is, as Jesus was traveling, he continued to do ministry the whole time. He's teaching the whole time. Now, you'd think he knows that he's going to Jerusalem in a little over a week, and he knows that he's going to suffer, he's going to be beaten, he knows exactly what's going to happen to him, and why isn't he just kind of, you know, preparing himself for that, you know, like the president sequestered himself away to spend a lot of time preparing for his State of the Union address. That's what was said in the news, you know, that's why you didn't see much of the president the week, because he was preparing himself. Jesus ministered the whole time. Jesus ministered right up through his death. He ministered to the man on the cross next to him and gave him eternal life. Ministry. Ministry never stops. Ministry is something we can always be engaged in. Ministry is something we can always do. We see Jesus ministering to Zacchaeus. We'll see Jesus ministering to blind men. And as we go Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday this week, we'll go back and look through Jesus in some of the teachings that was taking place during this phase of his journey. So anyway, friends, I'm going to get you into your day and pray God's blessings on you. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen my friends today, whatever their needs, that you would strengthen their faith, wherever their faith needs to be strengthened. Help us to understand that we are on a journey with you and that you are continuing to work today in our lives. Lord, you're continuing to hear our prayers. Zara asking specifically for prayer. So we lift her to you and the variety of different needs that are there in her town, in her own personal life, in her family's life, Lord, that you would meet all the needs that she has. Lord, we lift her to you and praying for her and for her family. Now, Lord, as we get into our day, and I've got a very busy day scooting out to Bangor right after we get off the broadcast here. Lord, I pray that you would make this just a rich, rich day, a productive day, a fruitful day that honors Jesus. We give you this day in Jesus' name. Lord, hear our prayer. Amen. Have a great day, friends. I'll see you tomorrow.